Well, we've been discussing the roadmap to change. I think that slide will come up. I like it. The roadmap to change. Amen. Amen. Come on. Anybody want to change? Anybody want to be different at the end of this year? Anybody want, you know, I do, glory to God. I want to be changed. And I believe it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Amen? God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Repentance is another word for change, right? It's another word for change. So we just desire God's goodness and mercy and love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, Charles, would you mute things until that buzz goes away? It is? Okay, I don't know what it is then. All right, well, we'll deal with it. God is good, isn't He? He's for us. He's with us. All of you watching online, I just want to welcome you into the meeting here today. We want to thank you for joining us. And we just believe the same anointing that's here is coming through the internet in Jesus' name. Lord, we just worship you, praise you, honor you for your word. Again, if you'll look to Psalm 115, or 119, 105 again. And it's, again, Donnie read it and it's our scripture, but the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And again, we're using that as the scripture for the roadmap to change. Amen? So watch this. If we want to change, we got to start changing, right? So this thing just went up like crazy, and help me. But watch this. I don't know what changed. Sorry, they'll figure it out. Look at, we decided and we said that the first step on our roadmap to change, right, that we needed to find out what we needed to change. We needed to identify what we wanted to change. And so we this is driving me crazy, but it's okay. We needed to change. We want to change. And so we prayed about that, right? We asked God, that's what you're supposed to do this week. What is that one thing that you want me to change? What is it? Is it a habit? Is it something positive or negative? I mean, see, if you have a negative viewpoint of yourself, right? You need to change that negative viewpoint. How do you do it? You let the Word of God be your roadmap to change, right? And what if it's Hebrews described it, a sin that so easily besets us, or a sin that's, you know, is just over and over again happening in our lives. What is it, God, that you need to do? And we're just believing God to change us. Amen? Come on, we're believing God to change us. And today we're going to talk about the path or the plan to change. So you can identify what you want changed, and you can say, boy, you know, it's like the New Year's resolution. I'd sure like to do this year. And then probably the first week, if you're really good, the first month, and then it's out the window, right? But you have to have a strategy. In other words, if your goal was, and I'm just going to use this one, if your goal was to lose weight in the year, right? Well, I want to lose weight. Well, what are you going to change? What diet are you going to be on? What exercise program? Well, I don't know. I'll just, you know, whatever comes along, you'll never lose weight, right? So we have to identify what God's dealing with us about. And then on top of that, we need to have a plan to implement it. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 22, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 22. And this is out of the NLT, so if you have the King James, it'll read a little bit different. But if you plan to do evil, you'll be lost. But if you plan to do good, you'll receive unfailing love and faithfulness. Let me say that again. If you plan to do evil, you will be lost. If you plan to do good, you'll receive unfailing love and faithfulness. So you can plan in your plans. Are your plans for good or are your plans for evil? And sometimes we haven't changed because we haven't changed the way we've been doing things. Are you with me? So we need to come back to the place where, God, I know what you want me to change. Now help me develop that plan. Because I want the second part. I don't want the first part. Are you with me? I want the second part. I don't want the first part. I want unfailing love or mercy, and I want his faithfulness toward me. And I'm going to do that by planning a good plan to go after him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, let's go. I want to talk to you first. Did you know God had a plan for you? God had a plan for you. He has a plan for everybody in the whole world, but specifically, he had a plan for you. And of course, that's found in Jesus Christ. We need to come to the place where we understand, if God needed a plan, I need a plan. So let's look at God's plan. If you go with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. We could read the whole thing, but we'll be here all day, and I don't mind that, but you know. But verse 9 says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is that plan, that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything on heaven and earth. God had a plan. In fact, there's scripture that says, before the foundation of the world, before anything was laid, God had the plan for Jesus to come and to take our sins. And so, well, if he had that plan, why did he need that? Why didn't he do something different? The reality is this, that God is not in time and space. He's eternal. He looks at things differently. And sometimes it's hard for us to get that view, but the reality is this, that God knew beforehand that Adam would fall. And even though he knew it and even though he saw it, he said, I'm going to have a plan when he falls. And that plan was we needed Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, right? Jesus needed to come. So from the foundation of the world, before it was ever needed, God put a plan in place for you and for me. Are you listening to me? God had a plan. And that plan he developed through Jesus Christ. I want to just elaborate a little bit more on that, and then we'll go into the rest of the verses. But Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And verses 10 and 11. Again, we could read the whole chapter. I just suggest you do. And this is talking about Jesus. This is God's plan for you and for me, but it was through Jesus that it was carried out. He says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. And when you make his soul as an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. His knowledge by my righteousness servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Look at that last part and read that again. It says, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God's plan is for Jesus to take our sins upon him, and then we could take his righteousness. In other words, we're justified because Jesus took or bore our sin. Aren't you happy about that? Jesus took our sins. And we have his righteousness. And I could go a lot into detail about that. That means, what does that mean? That means I'm right with God. When I come before God, and this verse, I've studied it, I've preached on it, but in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, now you can therefore come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in your time of need. First of all, it's like, wait a minute. He's sitting on the throne of grace. He's asking me or telling me that I can come boldly. Boldly means with confidence. Well, how can you have confidence going into a room because you belong there? Right? Because you belong there. And if you belong there, then there's going to be something about that transaction that will benefit you. And you and I, because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, can come boldly before him. And here's what I believe too, and sometimes we get it twisted because we want to feel something. But here's the reality. When I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm in his throne room. I'm in his throne room because that was his plan for us. Okay? I don't want to preach on that because I'll not get to what I want to get to. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Habakkuk 2:2. Habakkuk 2:2. And this was the prophet that you know, God showed him something and showed him something about the nation of Israel, but I want to apply that to our plan today. That is, when the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, and that he may run who reads it. Habakkuk 2:2. Let's look at that again. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. First of all, that assumes that you have a vision. Let me say that again. That assumes that you have a vision. And what is a vision? A vision is something that you see going forward. So in order to change and your plan for change, you have to see it going forward that something is going to change if you do what that vision is. Right? But it's not just, let me try something here. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. One more. We'll put them back in later. That wasn't it. Okay, it's not that. Anyway, I'm doing my best to just ignore that, but it's difficult. Watch this. A vision is something that you see yourself going forward. And again, you've prayed about it, so it's God's plan for you to do this whatever. It could be that you have a temper that you're just out of control, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know what's happening with it, but it's out of control, right? And you say, Lord, I don't want to treat my family like that anymore. I don't want to be seen that way. I want your love to be, you know, overflowing in me. And one of the things for me personally that the Lord has brought me back to, I did this years ago, but I'm doing it again, is I want more of his love in my life. I don't want just more of his love on me, but I want his love through me. I want others to see his love through me so that when I speak, when I talk, when I shake somebody's hand, when I smile at them, the love of God is pouring through me. Right? I want that. And so my vision for that and writing that down is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. So I've written that down, or I highlighted in my Bible, and I begin to look at that every day. That's my vision for changing who I am and making me more like Jesus. So the vision is I write down the scripture. And in that scripture, watch this, I am believing God for change. I've seen it happen in my past. I've watched it happen in me. And I just want that to be more and more and more and more. See, my deal is this. I want God to use me to point others to him. And when I say others, I mean everybody. I mean everybody. We just lost me. I mean everybody. Everybody. I mean from a little baby, when I'm holding a little bit, one of my favorite things to do, holding a newborn baby, that's awesome, right? That smell, oh, it's just wonderful. But I want them when they're in my arms to know the love of God. So my vision is that I'm patient, I'm kind. I never boil over with jealousy. I never render, you know, evil for good. All of those that are in that verse. And so I'm quoting that over myself over and over and over again. So if God has put something on your heart to change, you need to have a vision for it changing, and then you need to put scripture to that vision. Are you listening to me? Maybe you need healing in your body. Find scripture in the, find Bible verses to put before you where that's concerned, right? Come on, by his stripes I'm healed. You know, in Psalms 103 it says, forget not all of your benefits, for he forgives all of your iniquity and heals all of your diseases. In Isaiah it says, the chastisement of his peace was put upon me. By his stripes I'm healed. So what I'm saying, if your vision is for the Lord to build faith in you for healing, then you have to write it down and put it before you. Have it there. Why? So that you understand it and that other people that are around you can understand it and get into agreement with it. Are you listening to me? It's kind of like, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm believing for. And don't share it with just everybody. But share it with those that you know will hold to that vision, that will believe with you for that vision, right? If you believe that God wants to heal you and that's the vision that you have for this year, then don't get with somebody who doesn't believe God heals anymore. I mean, that just doesn't make sense, right? But put that vision with a prayer partner that you can have, but write it down, right? You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, if two or more on earth agree as touching anything, it will be done for them in heaven, doesn't he? He says that, right? Well, oftentimes we go, and here's what we do too. Agree with me in prayer. And the person says, okay. But they don't really know what they're agreeing to. Why? Because you haven't explained to them what you're standing on for that agreement to be based on. I knew a couple, and they were husband and wife. They took this very seriously. And what they did is they wrote it all out on a contract, almost in a journal. And then they both signed the contract. Why? Because they were writing the vision down so that both of them could look at it, and even if they had to, go back and see it. Right? Because if you write the vision down, and the vision starts to come to you, and you walk in it a little ways, how many know that there will be a time for discouragement? There are times where it doesn't work. It doesn't seem to be working. There'll be a time like, oh, you know, this did work, you know. But that's not true. But if you have that vision before you, you have something that you can reference back to, then the plan has a starting place that you can find and a place that you can look forward to. Right? Glory to God. Years ago, I used to do a lot of hiking in the mountains. Well, not a lot, but some. And it's like sometimes those hikes were grueling. Because you knew up at the top of this hike, you know, 5 miles, 10 miles into the wilderness, there was this mountain lake that you were going to get to. You're going to crest this hill and come to this mountain lake. But getting there, there were a lot of these switchbacks going up the mountain like this. And your thighs were burning and you're, you know, and you have the backpack on and you're just going, oh my God, how many more of these do I got to go, you know? And you get discouraged and you go, man, I hope this is worth it, right? But then you finally crest the hill because you didn't give up and you weren't going to stop. And you were going to make that your goal, right? That vision of getting to see that lake and camp by that lake and fish in that lake and eat fresh fish from that lake that tastes like nothing else over the fire. That was in your craw. And so you pressed on when it was hard because the vision put you through and it wouldn't allow you to stop, right? So in the plan, the vision is very, very, very important. And even in an organization, if you're trying to change an organization, you better have a vision that they can see so that they can hold on to it. Like if you had an organization and somebody came, what's your vision? I don't know, whatever happens. Okay, how can you have unity there if there's no vision that people can agree to? See what I'm saying? So vision is the first part of the plan. You have to have a vision. So again, if God spoke to you about something that he wants to change in you or with you or for you or around you, go back and look at that again and write something down that you're shooting for. Make sense? So we got to have the vision. All right, now go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 25. Let me get this here. I just rather read it here. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. We're going to read a few verses and then we'll come back and talk about them. It says, now when great multitudes went with him, he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first to count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Least afterward he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down and first consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciples. Salt is good. I'll stop there. Here's the point. If you have a plan, you make a plan, you need to count the cost of that plan. And you've got to be willing to lay down some things in order for some things to change. Right? I'm going to use this example, and I just feel like I need to. So, okay. Let me just say it this way. All men are visually stimulated. And if pornography is something that you're fighting, which all of us could go that way because of that propensity that way, right? And if that's something that you want to change, then you have to cut off every access to it. You have to count the cost of giving that up. That might mean that you can no longer get on Facebook because some of the ads to that, or you can't watch certain programs, or you can't get on Google anymore, or you can't, do you hear what I'm saying? You have to come to the place where you decide that whatever it costs me, I'm going to do to see that change. Are you listening to me? But if you play with it and you go, I can compromise a little bit here, then the reality is you'll never change. And you haven't really counted the cost and made a plan to change. I can't remember the name of the movie, and you'll remember, but it was this young man, his wife got saved, and he was talking with his dad, but pornography was a big thing in their marriage. And you saw him at one point. He went out, he took his computer out to the garbage can, and he got a bat and beat up the computer. He probably had spent, you know, $1,000 on this computer, but here's in the garbage can, and he's beating it up. Why? Because he knew he had to change, and that computer was standing before him and the change. So what is it? What is it in our lives that it's causing us, right? And some it could be, Lord, I need my anger issue to change. And it might be that Lord says, well, then you have to lay down your pride. You have to lay down your pride. And so you have to count the cost of what it's going to cost you to change and see if you're willing to put up with that. And then, no matter if you slip, if you fall, you get back up and you say, no, that's where I'm going, and it doesn't matter to me what it takes. And the reality is, it's like, Lord, I'm going to find you no matter what's going on. I'm going to be closer to you next year than I was the last year. And Lord, whatever it takes for me to do that. So I'm going to get up early. I'm going to do whatever. I'm counting the cost of what that means to me and what you put in my life to do. I'm counting the cost. And you have to be willing to lay it all down in order for that to change. I read a book years ago, and again, I can't remember the book or even the author, but it was talking about leadership. And here was a man who was, he was an executive and you know, making lots of money, but he had an addiction. And in that addiction, you know, it stole his family, it stole, you know, on and on and on, stole everything. And so he had to go into recovery. And recovery will only work for people when they lose the end of themselves and submit to the recovery. So he's here in this recovery. And I mean, he's a big executive making thousands of dollars, have lots of people underneath him. And the first thing they started to tell him is, well, you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you have to clean your room, and then you have to mop the hall, and then you, all of these menial things, right? And he's going, are you kidding me? And his pride didn't want him to do that, and he was rebellious toward that. And so nothing was changing until he got to the point where he said, you know, I need to get rid of me and humble myself and become the servant in this place, because I need to change and I can't help myself change. I need this recovery to change me. Are you listening to me? And so what he did is he just submitted it every day when that would come up, and he'd go, I'm mopping this floor again. I don't, shut up. You've got to hold himself. Stop it right now. Begin to smile, because this is part of your recovery. And he submitted himself to the recovery process, where he was successful at the end. So again, when Jesus said you have to count the cost, you have to be able to put yourself in the position to say, I don't care what it costs me. My recovery is more important to me than my pride. Are you with me? We're making a plan for change. So we have a vision for it, and we're counting the cost. And not only that, we're assessing maybe some of the obstacles that are going to come before us. Right? Let me just give you an example. Again, if anger is your issue, and anger is something that you're looking at, and you look at the future and you say, well, when I see George again, George always makes me mad. I always lose my temper when I get mad thinking about George. Then you have to say, now, wait a minute. My vision is to get past George to where my anger is in control. So I'm going to look at George, and every time I think about George, I'm going to see myself past George. Right? I'm counting the cost. Can I even be around George without losing my temper? So I may not be able to be around him the first month, and I may not be able to be around him the second month. But as I'm writing the vision, I'm walking this vision out, by the third or fourth month, I can go around George. Why? Because my heart has changed. And when I see George, I'm around George, forgiveness has happened, bitterness is gone, all of that, and I can see him. So you're planning your change with some of the obstacles that you might face. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. Many of you know this, but the first of the year, I started the carnivore diet, and that's where you eat meat only. And so I looked at that and go, you know, we have potlucks every month. Right? But I have to choose not to eat some of the things that I love to eat. Because the change that I want, not just weight-wise, but physically, are involved in the process. So when I started the diet, I said, listen, everything's going to change. And God has graced me and been able, it hasn't really been that hard to do. But again, the point is, in the plan, you got to have a vision, and then you have to count the cost of that. Am I willing to submit to God, to His Word, and to the process in order to change? If you're not, change is not going to happen. Hello? Change is not going to happen. Have you ever noticed that God can help change somebody, and His grace is there to help somebody, but unless they're willing to change, nothing's going to happen. That's even true in the story about when Jesus cast the devil out. He said, if you cast the devil out of somebody and the store is all clean and everything, and you don't put anything back in, that same spirit's going to come back and he's going to bring seven of his friends, right? And that applies to change. If you don't make a decision that what I want to change can no longer be in my life, and you go at it for a couple of months, you say, well, that didn't work or whatever, and you slide right back, it'll be worse. So you count the cost beforehand. And then you walk out the plan, and you say, I knew that was coming. But the vision carries me past that to the other place. Are you with me? So change. We have to have the plan for change. We have to implement the plan for change. We'll talk about that a little bit. But what is the plan? What is my plan? What do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish? And God, how do you want me to accomplish that? I want to cement this home. It's like years ago, we haven't done this for a while, but it's like when we did mission trips. We took people on short-term mission trips to different places. When we did that, we said the plan is to go. But one of the obstacles in there is money. Costs a lot of money. I think when we went to Africa, the plane tickets were like $2,000. I mean, whatever it was. It's a lot of money. We don't have that money sitting around. So the plan was we started attacking that issue. What did that mean? We had to do fundraising. So we had garage sales. We had different things. And I remember one garage sale we had, I put out a lot of my tools and things that I liked, a trailer, a generator, some of those things. Why? Because, first of all, it was on my heart to do that, but also the plan was to get to Africa. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes, even in the vision and the plan, you've got to figure out, okay, what's that going to cost me, and am I willing to pay the cost? If you are, you'll find the destination. But in the plan, you have to count the cost, and you have to assess what the problems might be. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I just want to say this too, that walking with the Lord, sometimes you have to be fluid in your plan. What do I mean by that? Well, in the book of Acts, Paul was talking about how that he wanted to go to a certain place, but in his spirit, he didn't see that was right. And so his plan changed because the Spirit of God made an adjustment in it. His vision was to preach the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth, and especially the Gentiles. In preaching that, in that vision going forward, he thought, I'll go to this city, and God put in his spirit check, said, no, don't go to that city. In another place, it said that in a dream or a vision, he saw Macedonia calling him. So in the vision, as you're walking it out with the Lord, he can show you and teach you how to make little adjustments along the way, right? And so you're always open to the Lord's suggestion when you're making the plan and when you're walking out the plan. But in Philippians chapter 3, and let's start at verse 12. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehend, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So when you set a plan up, you got to say, I'm going to go to the finish line. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. I refuse to stop. And the picture that I get, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but this was a military training session, but in the training, it was for an elite course. This they had to run a race within a certain amount of time, but they had to finish the race and they had to finish on their own, right? And so it happened to be a female soldier, I forget which branch of the service, but she got, you know, just from here to the front door of this, and she fell down. She was collapsed. And here were these men and these sergeants and everything. They all gathered around her. They didn't touch her because they couldn't. They got her gathered around. Get up, you can do it. You can do it. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stop. Right? In the midst of the misery and the pain, there was something that she had to dig up within herself. And they brought that up to make it to the finish line. Right? And so when we have a vision, and the plan starts out and we're executing that plan, we've got to have the attitude that come hell or high water, I'm going to make it to the end. And the plan won't be finished good enough. We'll not get in the place of the finish. I refuse to settle for less than what God has put on my heart to change. I'm going to make it to the finish line. So in that vision, you have to see the finish line. And then in the plan, you have to take out all excuses for not getting there. Hello? And again, you have to do that. I have to do that. I can't do that for you. I could come up with a plan. I could write the vision. But you have to execute the vision. And you have to say, no matter what it takes, no matter how many times I fall down, no matter if I fall back, whatever, I refuse. Because it said this, forgetting those things that are behind, I need to press on toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Forgetting, when do you have to forget? All the time. So you might have forgot yesterday, but then you remember today. And you might mess up. Well, you got to forget that and go on. Right? Okay, you know, I lost my temper again. I didn't want to. I forget that and keep that vision in front and keep marching. Keep marching. Keep marching. You'll see the victory if you don't quit and don't give up. If you'll continue with the plan. But the plan doesn't seem to work. I still have the craving. I still have this. I still have that. Forget all of that, right? That's in the past. The plan is in place. The vision has been settled. And the finish line is where I'm headed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's kind of like I've got to have the resolve that I'm going to finish this thing out. So before you start the change, you have to have the vision in mind. Some people say, well, you know, I tried. I made it 75%. That's better than nothing. As the great philosopher, race car driver Petty, he said, listen, he said this. It was one of them. I forget it. I'm not a NASCAR guy. But somebody came up to him and he won a lot of races. And somebody came up to talk to them about, how about second place? He said, second place is just the first loser. Second place is just the first loser.
Yeah.
Now see, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that you haven't accomplished anything. That's awesome. That's good. But change has no participation trophies. You did a good job. I mean, that's good enough. You're better than you. No, I'm not going to settle for better. I'm going to finish until I get there. I'm not going to stop. If you want to stop, stop. If you want to lay down, lay down. I'm not going to judge you or anything. But God has put this change in my heart. And the vision I have for it is to reach the finish line and not stop. Your husband might not like it. Your wife might not like it. Your friends might not like it. Because oftentimes change separates you from the crowd to get to a different place. Right? But again, he said, I count myself not to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and I reach toward those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? In our presupposition to this whole message is God wants us to change. God has a plan for us to change. In fact, the reason that this was stirred in my heart is when I was praying about this year, God said this is a year for change. We're going to see change on the political front, all kinds of change, and I'm not prophesying anything, but I can't do anything about that, but I can do something about me. And if God wants me to change something, if He wants me to be different, if He wants me to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, a better pastor, a better, leader, a better, counselor, whatever, then I have to do that, take that as a command, not as a suggestion. And then I've got to have, what it is. That's what we talked about first, identifying that, getting before God and finding out what that is. And then I need to have a plan to go forward. And part of that plan is, here's the vision. This year, this time next year, I'm going to be different. And again, it's all based on God's grace allowing us to do so. But once we have that vision again, right? And we've counted the cost to it, then we have to have the absolute tenacity that I will not stop. There's a song that I used to sing, and it was made famous years ago, but it was, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Think about that. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. The verse goes like this. I should try to sing it, but I'll probably mess the words up. But, I was a loser most of my life. I didn't know any other way. I tried and tried. I'd always fail because of what I'd say. But then I met a man who changed my whole life. Right? He took me away from my losing ways, and he taught me how to win. Talking about Jesus. Right? So I will not be defeated. And in that plan, I will not quit. Did you get something this morning? Amen, 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 amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We honor You. We praise You. We glorify You. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, God, for for your goodness. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. All of those that are watching online, again, thank you for tuning in. You're as much a part of that service as we are here. And so I'm just praying that God will just reveal the vision to you, reveal, you know, show you what it's going to cost you. Then pay that cost, and then don't quit until you see the end result. If you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray in just a minute. Be ready to receive what God has for you this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're here in the room or online, that's the first step to any change. And it's simple as this, that you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. What does that mean? That means, Lord, I recognize that I need a Messiah. I need a Savior. I'm not good enough to get right with God. But this morning, I need a Savior. And I'm convinced that Jesus died for my sins. So with my whole heart, not my mind, not just thinking it might be right, but with my whole heart, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So we just pray a prayer like this, and you can pray it with me or you can pray something different. The prayer's not magic, but the condition of your heart and what you speak is what will bring you to salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to suffer that agonizing, cruel death that he didn't deserve as an offering, a sin offering for me, so that my sins could be washed away. I thank you, Lord. I need that. I need Jesus in my life. So I believe that with all of my heart. And Father, the fact that you raised him from the dead, I believe that that means as I walk in this, that I'm right with you and I have access to you. So Father, I lay down my life. I've counted the cost. I give it all up to you. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I receive you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Father, anybody that's hurting in their body, I thank you that by your stripes they are healed. I pronounce healing over them. And I just right now, in the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit that's trying to control anybody within the sound of my voice, I bind you in Jesus' name. That spirit of suicide, you have to leave in Jesus' name. That spirit of oppression, you have to leave in Jesus' name. That spirit of fear, right now, in Jesus' name, you have to leave. That spirit of infirmity, right now, right here, right now, I'm declaring it in the name of Jesus. You've got to get out. I plead the blood of Jesus over every soul that's listening to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.